Hello and welcome to Get Your Barbecue On with Ken Alexander, coming to you from the Ken's Hardwood Barbecue Studios here in Tucson, Arizona. Get Your Barbecue On is a show for backyard cooks looking for tips and insight into barbecuing, grilling, and outdoor entertainment. It is our wish to help you develop your own style. Each week, we will share barbecuing and grilling tips, techniques, recipes, and a few pitmaster secrets you just have to know. We will feature fun, interesting, and informative guests, and we'll also answer questions posted on our website from the week before. And that's kenshardwoodbbq.com, and just click radio show. Hey, welcome to today's show. This is Ken from Get Your Barbecue On with Ken Alexander on KVOI 1030 The Voice. And I'm here with my guest host today, Dr. Andre Jones. Doctor, what's happening?
Not much. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great, and I'm excited about today's subject.
Oh.
Yeah.
What are we going to talk about today?
First of all, football's back.
Oh, hey.
Hey. And today we're going to be talking about tailgating.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yes. Great food.
Yeah.
Football.
Yep.
It's going to be make for a great show.
Yeah.
All right.
So, I have a look on my face only because I'll be very honest that I've never been to a tailgate before.
What?
Yeah.
Dr. Jones.
Yeah.
I guess this is going to have to be included in your pit master training. That we have not gotten to the tailgate chapter yet.
No.
But we're going to have to accelerate you a little bit there.
All right.
So we're going to be talking about tailgating. So we also have a great guest on the show today, and that's Brock Graham from Cut and Dry Barber and Beauty Lounge. The exciting thing is, with all of this stuff going on, with so many people kind of retreating, mm-hmm. Brock and his family have opened up this wonderful establishment mm-hmm. in the middle of all this COVID stuff. So
what was he thinking?
Yeah.
That's all I'm asking. Right. What was he thinking?
Right. So stay tuned after the break, and we got a great interview for you.
Absolutely.
So stick around. But let's get down to talking about tailgates.
Yeah.
Tailgating.
So what is a tailgate?
Because
when I hear tailgate, what I think of is the back of a truck.
Okay. That is the tailgate.
That's the tailgate?
That's how I got started.
Okay.
You know, folks would drive to a game. They'd go to a game, drop the tailgate, and they'd have the food, take the grill off, take stuff off the truck. And then they'd start cooking things right out there. And so they get to the game a few hours ahead of time.
Oh.
And so that was the basic tailgate back in the day. So you just drop it, you cook right there.
Yeah.
And have some few little lounge chairs. And then you just cook food.
Mm.
And you sit there and then you just build up all the big team momentum.
Sure.
And everything, and
yeah.
Everybody, you know, get all on board and excited, and you're ready to go into the game and cheer for your team.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. That's what it's all about. It's coming together.
Yeah.
All the fans before the game, eating some food, getting fired up, and then having a few adult libations, but in your case, a Big Red or something like that.
Of course, right? Right.
And that's what a tailgate's all about. It's an exciting time.
Yeah.
When you see a lot of football games and stuff on TV now, and if you see the pregame, you know, when they start showing the crowd
yeah.
before the game, a few hours before, and they're all out there cooking great
sure.
food.
Yeah.
And you start thinking about that tailgate food. It's starting to make me hungry now.
Oh, wow.
But
are you allowed to have other people's food, or you just have to have your own food? Yeah. That'd just be me.
Well, the thing is to get invited to a tailgate.
Oh.
Hey.
Got it.
Dr. Jones.
Yeah.
We're having a tailgate before the game. Come on by.
Oh.
And then all you have to say is, what would you like me to bring?
Oh,
yeah.
Okay,
and
got
it. You could bring some things. Maybe you could bring what the most popular,
mm-hmm.
if you can think about tailgating food.
Right.
Maybe you could bring that because they you don't know the most popular.
No, I'm just going to say hot dogs or hamburgers.
No. Actually, the most popular tailgate food is potato chips.
Really?
Right. That's the most popular tailgate food. But hamburgers and hot dogs are right in there.
Okay. All right. Yeah, at least I was close.
They're right in there. Burgers are like second. Then you got hot dogs. And then the other thing is sauces and brats. But if you were to look and at any most of these tailgates, that's mm-hmm. what you're going to see out there.
Oh, God. Okay, got yeah. it.
Like I said, sports are back.
Yeah.
This year, but
can't go to a game, really.
A lot of sports are not going to have fans.
Wow.
Right. So the thing about it is that doesn't necessarily stop us from having a tailgate.
True. Oh, that's right? True.
Because we could tailgate in the backyard.
That's right.
And then go in and watch the big game.
True.
There's nothing prevents you from all the pomp and circumstance and just have all the enjoyment of having a real tailgate.
True.
Let's do our best to enjoy life. Mm. We talked about just being present.
Yeah.
In this time. So when the big game comes on, let's go ahead and just plan our tailgate for Saturday for college football or Sunday for pro football.
Yeah.
I mean, even Monday night or Thursday night football. Sure. Whatever. Sure. I mean, get the family together.
Yeah.
I mean, even COVID, you can invite a few friends over.
Sure.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Social distance a little bit.
Outside,
but,
maybe.
You know.
Yeah.
Hey, we're talking about a tailgate. You're not all hugged up together anyway. You know, we're talking about outside space. Tailgate. You can space.
Social
you can
distance.
Do this. You can social distance, but you can still have a great time getting everybody fired up for the big game.
True.
Right.
And sometimes if you have the equipment, you can go outside and enjoy the game. You can have like a projector outside,
right.
And have the game going outside and everyone distance from each other, but still have the grill going and tons of potato chips, apparently.
Yeah, tons and tons of potato chips.
Did they say what type of potato chips or did they say potato chips?
It's potato chips as a whole. Hmm. It's like hamburgers and hot dogs as a whole. We know what type of hot dogs you like.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I must say, you've cooked enough hot dogs now that you could be considered a hot dog connoisseur.
Oh, look at that. Hmm.
You're getting there.
I need
it. You're getting there.
my beard needs to get a little bit longer. And then I was like,
Yeah. You're talking about hot dogs. Hey, let's talk to the doctor.
Exactly.
He loves hot dogs and he's grilling them all the time.
Absolutely. Because that's the only way to eat. I will never put another hot dog in a microwave. I don't care how cold it is outside. This won't happen.
Right. So anyway, the thing is that there are still opportunities to tailgate.
True.
And if you still want to enjoy the game and have fun, I'm going to tailgate. Let's put it like that.
Okay.
You know, the big game tonight, Monday night football.
That's right.
It's coming on. But anyway, I'm tailgating.
Yeah.
You still tailgate. I'm not at the game.
Yeah.
But at the house, we're going to break out the little kettle grill.
Okay. All right.
You know, I told you I've got that sweet little kettle grill.
Yeah. And, I remember that.
Right. And so we're going to do brats.
Oh, okay.
We're going to do some brats and dogs. And that is a perfect tailgate food.
And potato chips.
Yeah,
it's potato not a tailgate. Well, we're
going to have potato chips.
Okay,
but there's a lot of other things. A lot of people bring sides. But as far as meats, typically when you go to a tailgate, somebody's bringing a grill.
Yeah.
You can bring a gas grill. I've seen some people even have a generator there, so they can bring the little electric grill.
Oh, okay.
Tailgates can be pretty extravagant. When I go back to my college reunion, we always go to Lexington, Kentucky and rent a Class A RV.
Really?
Yeah, we drive it down and we go to the stadium and early that morning.
Yeah.
And open up the RV, put the slide outside. We have a TV outside. And we break out the little grill and we're just tailgating.
For real.
Before the big game.
Yeah.
Right.
Is that still considered tailgating since it's an RV?
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Yeah, that's tailgating too. That's tailgating at its finest right there. But I mean, when you look at these pro football games and you see out in the stadium parking lot, a lot of times you see a lot of RVs.
Yeah.
You see a lot of SUVs.
Yeah.
And folks there cooking. So, but anyway, we're modifying the tailgate for the house.
Yes.
Or
home, the apartment. Home,
the apartment.
Wherever you are.
Or wherever you
are.
And so, like I said, we're going to be cooking brats at the house tonight. We'll have some nice buns. Mm. And we've got some beans, some potato chips.
Little
potato salad.
Got it. Some sides.
Some regular sides. Right. And we get all this on. And so typically at a tailgate, all the food's ready. You're munching down on the food. Now, if you were at the game, you need to have it all wrapped up and eat everything and everything put up and put out before you go into the stadium.
Right.
So they start really early in the morning. And so because if the game is like a 1 o'clock game time,
you gotta be there early.
Everything wrapped up, get into the stadium, see the game.
Yeah.
But if you're tailgating at home, getting ready for the big game, then you can eat during the game. You don't have to put everything out.
Yeah, this is true. You can sit there and enjoy your meal while you're rushing.
No rushing. No, we're taking our time. We're being present.
Yeah. There you go. Present right in the moment.
We're right in the moment, being present, and we're going to sit there and we're going to enjoy our tailgate food.
Wow.
Right there.
You know what? This might be a good time for me to experiment what tailgate is.
I think so.
Yeah.
So,
I got my little grill. I can take it anywhere. Perfect. It's really awesome.
I mean, and that's the thing about that one portable grill. Those are the types of grills that a lot of people use on there. It's just the grill that you have.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, there's no charcoal to get rid of.
Right.
There's no. So, and these types of tailgates, like the gas grills or the, I mean, they're perfect for that. Or the electric type grills, they're perfect for the, but you would need a little generator.
Right. If you have electric.
Gas grill would be great for a tailgate. But a lot of times people use the charcoal. You just need to make sure you take some type of can or something where, you know, metal that you could extinguish the charcoal with,
right?
You know, before you run into the stadium,
right?
Yeah, you're on a. I think I saw a insurance commercial one time where the guy threw the coals into the car and then the car burned and blew up, whatever. Yeah, you don't want to do that. You want to make sure you can extinguish those coals before you go in. But
yeah,
it's time for us to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to be answering a question. We got a great question from Soul Man G out of Tucson.
Woo.
And we're also going to check in with the doctor. So we'll be right back. Hang in there. Take care. See you on the other side. Hey, Tucson. You can still get your barbecue on at Ken's Hardwood Barbecue, 5250 East 22nd Street. Offering our delicious award-winning brisket, ribs, southern fried catfish, down-home sides, and our full menu of homemade dishes for takeout. 745-4746. That's 745-4746. Or visit our website. Come on down to Ken's Hardwood Barbecue and get your barbecue on. Hey, welcome back to Get Your Barbecue On with Ken Alexander. I'm here with Dr. Jones.
Hey.
And it's time for us to answer one of our listeners' questions.
Yes.
I understand that you have a question from Soul Man G.
Soul Man G. He was on the first episode. He's a co-host of mine with All About the Wind podcast.
Right.
He asks, how do I grill country-style pork ribs without making them dry? And then also, marinade or dry rub?
Oh, okay. So first off, we want to barbecue.
Oh.
Because we want to go low and slow. So we want to barbecue those country-style ribs. And those are those pork country-style ribs, which I really enjoy them. But they do have a tendency, if you overcook them, that they can get dry.
Really?
They do. A couple of things that you need there is... you need to be able to cook them low and slow. That could be anywhere from 200 to 220, maybe even 225. You could cook them at that temperature. To me, all of that's low and slow. And the other thing is you need a meat thermometer. I've never really seen those country style spare ribs be real tough. I haven't experienced them being tough. I think that if you get them to somewhere between 150, 155, that they would be nice.
Not dry.
Not dry.
Yeah.
Not dry. If you cooked them low and slow, And one of his other questions was marinade or not marinade.
Yeah, or dry rub.
So it doesn't have to be an either or. You could pull it out of marinade and then put a rub on it.
Oh.
Yeah, that's possible. Just because you marinate doesn't mean you can't put any other seasonings on it.
Okay.
So you marinate to get some flavor absorbed into the meat.
Mm.
And then you could take it and then you want to complement the flavors or whatever you use as a marinade. And you could put a rub or some dry seasonings on there too.
Got it.
And then you just take it, like I said, and you put it on the grill. And the thing about it is I would set up the grill the same way I would set up an indirect side and a direct side.
Yeah.
And I like to get some grill marks on my pork on those. So I'd get a little grill marks on there using the direct side for a while. Then I would put it over on the indirect side and then just let it go.
Perfect.
And
easy.
Right. And depending on the temperature, of course, if it's 200, it's going to stay on longer. But if it's, I'm thinking within a couple of hours, that stuff's going to be ready.
Okay.
Right. It also depends on the thickness. I usually get mine pretty thick. You certainly don't want to overcook it. So once you have it on there and you flip it, get some grill marks, flip it on there. You might want to take the temperature and see where you are.
Okay. And then also on that same note, pink pork? Okay or no?
It's not about whether it's pink or not. According to USDA and most of the health departments, that pork, if it's in its like roast form or steak form or whatever, it gets to 145, then any kind of foodborne illness that would be in pork is died. You can't live through that.
Right.
So if the internal temperature is 145 for at least 15 seconds, you're good. But most people don't want to eat pink pork, and you don't want to eat that on your ribs. So so then you just go further. And that's why I'm saying 150, 155. And some people might want to, you know, you don't want to dry them out. But if you got some nice size country style ribs, those temperatures, it'll be fine.
Okay.
You're going past where you need to be for health purposes.
Got it.
Right.
Wow. All right. It sounds like when you cook ribs, it's just low and slow.
It's low and slow. And again, I can't stress it enough, that handy meat thermometer takes the guessing out of the game.
Yes, it does. I agree.
Right.
I totally agree.
All right. I think that was a great question.
I do too.
And I really appreciate Soul Man G for throwing it out there so we could share that information with our listening audience.
Oh, yeah. I learned something. Thank you, Soul Man G.
Soul Man G, thank you.
Thumbs up for Soul Man G.
Thumbs up for Soul Man G. Well, now it's time for us to check in with the doctor. He's our pit master in training, Dr. Andre Jones.
All right. I have a story for you.
Okay, story for me. We've been waiting for a story. A good story.
It is going to be a good one.
We need a good story.
Yes, all in story form.
All in story form.
So, this weekend, and I was just kind of picking up some stuff that's needed, and I looked over at in this one section. I saw steak, and I'm like, well, they look pretty good. You know, they look good. I looked, and it's like $27 off. I'm like, $27 off?
Right, there's a steak sale.
Perfect timing, because I paid like $14 for some steak. So
I'm excited.
So I get steak and I call my mother. I say, Mother, I'm making you some steak tomorrow and potatoes
as well as
some veggies as well. She's like, ooh, I can't wait.
Yeah.
So I'm ecstatic. That morning, Sunday morning, I wake up, I get some rub them down. I think I did some apple wood rub is actually what I used on it.
Okay.
So I rubbed it down, made it look good. And I was taking it out of the packs like, dang, this is, are you sure? Like, what's wrong with them? Rub them down and, you know, they look good. I put them back in the refrigerator and it's like, okay, I'll tend to them later on.
Right.
My mom came over. And I also made some baked potatoes, too. I was like, okay, I'm going to start, you know, wait for the baked potatoes to get done. And then I'll start working on the steaks. And I throw the steaks on. And so I'm talking to my mom. Didn't have time to think about any real estate this time. However, I did pop open a cream soda.
There you go.
And so the apron was on, the tongs in the hand, cream soda in the other. it was time to do some grilling.
All right.
And I put my steaks on and they cooked. And so funny, you know, I'm still working on my patience of things. I really am. Mm-hmm. I did not know that how impatient I am of going, are you ready? Okay. Are you ready? Okay. Has it been 8 minutes? No timer because, why would I put a timer on?
Right.
However, I did something that was interesting. I kept flipping it over. I was just trying to make sure that the grill marks are just even on both sides. I don't know. I kept flipping it over, and handy dandy meat thermometer. The digital meat thermometer is like the best thing ever. I got a new one because the other one didn't work. Yeah, just put it in there for 15 seconds. I'm like, mother, how do you like your steaks anyway? Now that I'm cooking it. It's like, well done. I made some medium well and well done.
Mm-hmm.
I got them out and no one used any sauce.
There you go.
Yes. It was so good. It was still juicy. And like I said, when we ate, it was quiet in the house. My daughter's friend got out. She smelt it because the whole house smelled like steak. She came in and she's like, ooh, steak, and got herself sat down and just start pigging out. And like I said, no sauce was needed.
Man.
It was so good.
You're starting to build a nice reputation over there at the new apartment complex.
I am. I told my mother, it's like at any moment, a woman's going to knock on my door. She's just going to knock on the door like, oh, I smelt that and take me now. Like, here's a go ahead and put a ring on it. Like, any moment, mother, I know it. There's a whole place of smelling like steak and it smelled great. But yeah, she really enjoyed her meal. Like, she really enjoyed. She's like, I haven't eaten this heavy in a long time. And it was so good. So that compliment was amazing.
Wow,
so
that's great, Dr. Jones.
It was awesome. It was really awesome. We're actually this weekend, we're going to go away. We're going to actually going to go to Flagstaff.
Oh, okay.
And so I'm actually going to clean my grill.
Ooh.
And I'm going to bring it with me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because it's nice and small and portable.
Right.
I'm going to be doing some grilling up in Flagstaff too. So
that's fantastic.
I don't know what we'll be grilling, but
man,
it's so funny. My refrigerator has hamburgers all the time.
Yeah.
Because when all else fails, we just have hamburgers or hot dogs. Right. It's just by default. So I don't know if I'm going to grill up there, but I'm going to grill something.
You're going to grill something. Huh?
Yeah. I did do turkey burgers the other day also. Those threw me off a little bit.
One of the things with turkey burgers was because they don't have a lot of fat or anything in them.
Yeah.
So you really need to make sure that you're going to either put some type of oil, like you can either put olive oil on the grates or spray it with Pam or something like that. So those turkey burgers won't stick to.
Yes. Yeah. Because that's what they were doing. They were constantly sticking. Frustrating
and we're talking
me, really.
About ground turkey too. You got to get it to 165.
Yes.
Because anytime you talk about poultry, so that internal temperature for those turkey burgers has to get to 165 for at least 15 seconds.
Got it.
Okay. So yeah. You don't, when it's, like I said, ground meat, you need to get it to temperature to make sure everything's
good. Yeah. Well, thank you for that. Because my mother, she doesn't eat hamburgers. She eats turkey burgers.
Right.
So I'm a feeling I'm going to get some turkey burgers and that's most likely will be one of our meals. So
right.
Now that I know.
Yeah. Yeah. So make sure you've got something to make sure that you oil, put some oil on the grates.
Okay.
And so the turkey burgers won't stick.
Perfect. I'll do it.
Right.
Otherwise, we had an amazing family dinner last night from Pitmaster in Training.
All right.
Just saying.
That's our Pitmaster in Training, Dr. Jones. Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, it's time for us to take a break. But when we come back, we're going to be talking to Brock Graham from Cut and Dry Barber and Beauty Lounge. It's going to be a great conversation, so please stick around. This is Ken from Get Your Barbecue On with Ken Alexander on KVOI 1030 The Voice. See you on the other side.
We here at Octavia Social Media Strategy support the brave men and women who risk their lives on the front line of this coronavirus. We ask that everybody protect themselves and each other by following all the basic steps necessary to curb this disease. Remember to wash your hands and wear your mask at all times because family and friends are the most important gifts on earth. Please visit our website at www.octavia.social to help join us in this effort. We look forward to working with you. And when it comes to social media, let us help you be seen, be known, and be the expert.
Hey, welcome back from the break. This is Ken from Get Your Barbecue On. with Ken Alexander on KVOI 1030 The Voice. It's time to bring you the good news. I'm here with Dr. Jones, co-hosting today, and we're going to be speaking with Brock Graham, a young entrepreneur from Cut and Dry Barber and Beauty Lounge. We're going to be talking about what's going on over at Cut and Dry and how Brock has started a new business during this whole COVID thing, and which is really exciting. Mm-hmm. And he's going to tell us, you know, what gave him the nerve and the and how he was able to pull this off during these troubling times.
What was he thinking?
Yeah, what was he thinking? That's what I'm talking about. But hey, Brock, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. All right. I'm excited to see, as a matter of fact, your new spot is right across the street from my chiropractor. So I see it all the time.
Right.
And it's looking really good over there.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's been a process.
Right. You guys are doing a great job over there. But first off, tell us a little bit about yourself, Brock.
Well, myself, I lived here my whole life and kind of grew up in the shop industry. My mother was a black woman that had owned her own salon here for about 20 years.
Right.
So I grew up a lot in the industry and seeing what it could manifest. But as far as for myself, I did try college, but I found out that, you know, I needed to try to get some type of income. So I went to the financial world, worked there for about 4 years, and the boss, well, the branch manager, actually told me something one day. It's kind of funny. He said, you know, you work hard enough, you'll be me one day.
Wow.
So I said, I'm going to be a short, kind of fat, bald white man. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You know?
Wow.
So 5 years from now, I can look forward to that.
Yeah.
So it was one of those things where you kind of think about, you know, you don't want to get trapped in a spot where you have to stay at a job.
Right.
So I think I was at the point in my life where it was, either I could jump now, my kids were young, and I could chase my dream,
mm-hmm.
and they kind of wouldn't know any difference in their life.
Right,
versus
right.
giving them a lifestyle and then saying, hey, I got to take it all away. They wouldn't know the difference. So I chose to jump out on faith and mentorship.
Follow your dream.
I did.
Yeah, do something you enjoy instead of mm-hmm. being trapped in a situation where... Yeah,
where I was going to become my situation.
Yeah, right. Okay.
So that was a real pivotal point because I had to make the choice, not only for myself, but two kids and a wife. So, you know, you have to sit down and be able to do that. But I knew I could do it, not necessarily the work that would take to to manifest the dream come true. But I attended the Dunbar Barber Academy here in Tucson under T.O. Harris.
Okay.
So that was a great thing because having previous relationship, I was able to tell him my drive and my focus, and he was able to help me, one, get in immediately and then help me acquire more hours and kind of show me more things to get me out there faster, which kind of took the part of learning how to cut hair versus learning business.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You know, you don't get taught necessarily business skills or you're not really given business acumen in barber school.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. But that's also in a lot of professions. There's doctors and dentists and mm-hmm. a lot of people that know how to do a certain thing and they have a certain skill set, but turning that into a profitable business, that kind of training normally doesn't come with the training you got for that skills.
I definitely agree. And I think too is it's hard to train somebody on something that you may not know either.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. sometimes the instructors are great teachers or great at relaying the information as far as through the skill, but they may not have the same business
acumen.
Knowledge.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, they're a little light on business.
Exactly.
Acumen.
So you okay. can't expect mm-hmm. to get everything from mm-hmm. one individual. Mm. But then also too, I think the biggest thing was you had to learn how to mentally stay equipped. And when I say that, it's just you had to learn exactly how powerful it was to mentally either be taken out of your situation or to mm-hmm. invest into a new situation.
Okay.
So, you know, basically like a garden, you know, you don't water it, you get weeds.
Yeah.
So you know, it was one of those type of things. So to have to stay mentally ready was a part of that. The biggest part of the journey is just telling yourself you're going to get where you're trying to go, and the money would come. And I think you hear that so much, but it's truer than you think.
Yeah. I know one of the things, I know you were really ready to reach out and look for other resources, like you're saying, beyond just learning how to cut hair. I know you spent some time in New York for a while. You went out there for sort of like a little internship.
Yes.
To get more. Tell us a little bit about that.
I left and went to work under Anthony Dickey, which is the owner of Hair Rules, which is a salon in New York and on 59th and 9th Avenue, which was an experience of learning one, business, and then two, also how to manage others.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So it was more of understanding why I think so many businessmen and women are tougher than we think. You know, a lot of them call them jerks. But you start to understand the reasons why is because once they've created something and now you're helping facilitate their dream, mm-hmm. if it doesn't fall in line, they're more upset or more ticked off with you not following what has kind of been placed in front of you. You're trying to kind of skew their dream or do it your way. And it's already been kind of put in a way where you just have to follow the steps, learn what they have, and then you can either build upon that or you can stay.
Right.
And for me, I learned a lot about hair. That was the crazy part.
Right.
I didn't think there was that much in detail to hair.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of women's hair.
Right.
So that was probably one of the things that learning hair, learning why certain things were that I didn't, that I've grown up with, like shampoo and conditioners. I didn't know there was such a big deal with what shampoo and what conditioner you used.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a part of life that, one, took me away from my family. So you got to stay focused. Like I said, you have to stay mentally ready for... Mm-hmm. I guess you could say the day-to-day challenges.
Right.
But it was also the experience, I think, that helped me to understand kind of how to not chase, but how to obtain my dream.
Well, that must be some great knowledge to have as being a barber, that you have that knowledge also of like a stylist and having the knowledge of both men's and women's hair must be an advantage that a lot of barbers don't have.
I would agree. I would say that what I've learned is being in the, with women wanting to wear their hair natural more now than probably ever, it's equipped me more to just be able to enlighten versus to even do their hair.
Right.
But also too, is it's also shown me too, is that the natural hair care world is probably further behind than any other industry, I would say. That I know of.
Wow.
I think they're catching up.
Okay.
I think Mr. Dickey was probably one of the first people that I think has showed me that natural hair, the evolution of those products for people with texture versus making them color.
Yeah.
Because you always see like the ethnic section.
Yeah, right. So right. Yeah.
What technically does that mean?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, what ethnicity does that stand for?
Right.
He showed me hair and texture.
Right.
Wow.
Versus by the color of your skin or by your background.
Right. That's like curly, wavy, straight.
Exactly. Yeah. So he said, take a person's color, because you can have a Hispanic person that has a wavy, curlier texture. Because we don't know really the biology behind who they are.
Sure.
So if you can look at their texture and supply them with the product that's beneficial, that's how you can kind of capitalize on the market. You take color out of it. You take the word ethnic out of it, and you make it textural.
Based on the hair texture.
And that was probably one of the key things that I think has shown me something different than I've learned from anywhere else.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm.
Wow.
Wow, that's great.
Well,
that's
like you went to New York for a full course, like full college course. There was your college experience right there.
Oh, it was. It was very in-depth. A lot of times, it was a lot of things I didn't understand that were just done by... I mean, I'm not going to lie. It's done by having to put food on the table.
Right.
I mean, even though I knew them, it wasn't going to be like, okay, I understand. It was like, dude, you got to be at the shop at 6 o'clock, pack my stuff. I have to go to MTV Studios.
Whoa.
So it's like, oh, I'm going to MTV. And he's like, no. I said, pack my stuff so I can go. it was a lot of humbling moments. But like I said, I really didn't manifest that until I got back here, because then I understood more of what he was trying to pour into me with texture, right, versus color. Mm-hmm. Or versus race or any,
sure,
however you want to dig, you know, discern that. That's just what he showed us.
Yeah.
It's just make everything textural. Take everything else out of it.
That's amazing. And then you bring it back here to your shop. So it truly stands out then.
It did. Actually, I mean, I brought it back here and I worked for somebody else. And that was the biggest thing, is learning how to make money. I'm not going to lie. If I watched you and you're a barber, and I sit in the shop on Saturday watching you cut hair, I mean, I can count your pockets because I know how much I pay, right? So if I pay you $25, you've just done 10 people, and I'm number 10. I know you made $250. So your thought process goes, I'm going to be a barber because when I get into the shop, I'm going to make $250 every time I cut hair. But that's not technically how it goes.
Yeah.
You know? There are some of those nights where you're like, hey, so how much room is left on the credit? Can we put? And I think that's the misconception with trades.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, we watch plumbers, AC guys, you know, we watch all these people that have these licenses or these trades.
Right. Yeah.
And we think, oh, wow, I just paid him $87 to tell me there's a leak.
Yeah.
Not to fix it, but I need to be in that profession. Like, So, and then you try to do it and you can't get anybody to want your services.
Yeah. Right.
So I think that was the part, is learning hair, now learning how to apply it.
Right.
And then learning business on the fly. I mean, thank God I had some family members that were able to created a road to show me certain things that I think have helped me.
Yeah.
But it was more or less what I would say for a listener is, it's more or less how much you're willing to work to get where you're trying to go. Because, I mean, you can have a million-dollar idea, but I don't really believe in a million-dollar idea. I believe that an idea is an idea. It's not worth anything until you put an execution behind it.
Okay,
so
okay.
You can have a million-dollar execution and a sham wow type of idea. That's a piece of cloth,
right,
but you execute it in a million-dollar way.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's just, I think that's the type of thought process you got to have, is million-dollar execution. You know, what kind of execution? Mm. So I put myself in, like, I want to make over $100,000 purely as a barber.
Right.
What would my prices have to be? I know I couldn't charge $35 day one.
I was like,
let me start with making $25,000 a year.
Yeah,
which I didn't know was close to poverty, but it felt great. You know,
it sounded good. Right?
But and then think about it, when you're walking around with that cash in your pocket every day, it makes you feel. But I mean, it was just about the execution,
right?
Because it, you know, skill with no execution is just a skill.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a lot of people that we could probably grab right now off of 22nd that have some great skills with no execution.
Right. That part of 20, I know what you mean.
That was just a lot of that thought process, and being able to take information, I think, is another vital part of business or a part of growing. I had some people share books with me that the books are from like 1903. No, I mean, literally.
Really?
So they're,
1903?
So they're written in like King's English, I think that's what it's called.
Right, yes.
So thou
English.
And thee.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right.
Little English, yeah.
Yeah. So what was funny is reading it, I mean, I'm a very faithful man, you know, very Christian man. So reading it was kind of funny because it's almost written in the same form as the Bible.
Right.
But if King James wrote it in layman's terms with some of his words. So it was just, you know, doing those things, actually reading, taking the criticism, those were the things that were big,
right.
That really, really showed me if I wanted it or not.
Right. So you were open to other folks giving you some help or trying to, like, introducing to you to some different ways of thinking.
I think it's incredibly irresponsible. I think it's idiotic to think that you could come up with something that's new under the sun. I just think it's, I think the information is there. Yeah. I just think most of us think that we're going to wake up and the idea and the work are going to just magically appear versus getting the help. I mean, we all have seen a fool make a mistake and we've all chose not to do what he did.
Right.
So I think that there's the mistakes have already been made. I think it's, you have to be really open-minded to understanding that you don't know pretty much any of the answers.
Yeah. Right.
You're just skilled.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like I tell some people, it's like a contractor. A lot of contractors don't know how to plumb.
Right.
They don't know how to drywall. They don't know how to do any of the services, but they know how to find all the people and bring them together.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of like how I look at business is I'm a contractor. I do what I do well. So then I need to outsource what I don't. And a lot of that's knowledge. A lot of that is
bringing in.
Exactly.
Go to where the knowledge is.
Exactly.
Somebody that has that knowledge.
We all know businesses that have just said, I'm going to open it and they're going to come in.
If they build it, they will come.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What's the other one? Rome wasn't built in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Rome also had a whole lot of other outsourcing that they were doing too. So, I mean, it's just, it's kind of, like I said, foolish thinking. I think a lot of young entrepreneurs, no matter what their background is, we have the greatest thing of our generation, and it's a computer in your pocket.
Right, yeah. Right. Everybody has a cell phone.
Yeah. Right, so like there's even people, like I've even found, there's even people that you can outsource to write the lingo for your website.
Right.
I mean, you don't have to make it that hard.
Yeah.
You know, we make it hard because, like I said, we think we have these grand ideas that nobody else has ever thought about. Instead of just reaching out and saying, hey, Ken, hey, you know, Dr. J, yo, can you help me?
Right.
You know, I think that's the foolish part of business. But working under people showed me how foolish I was because I thought I was going to do something different until I started reaching out and getting mentors and researching.
All right. Hey, so it's time for us to take a break. We're going to be back right here talking to the young entrepreneur, Brock Graham from Cut and Dry Barber and Beauty Lounge. So we'll be right back hanging with us. Hey, Tucson, do you have a hankering for some good old down-home cooking? Well, you're in luck. Along with our award-winning barbecue, we have Southern Fried Catfish, mac and cheese, collard greens, fried okra, peach cobbler, sweet potato pie, and much more. 745-4746. That's 745-4746. Or visit our website. Come on down to Ken's Hardwood Barbecue and get your barbecue on. Hey, welcome back from the break. This is Ken at Get Your Barbecue On with Ken Alexander on KBOI 1030 The Voice. Dr. Jones and I are here with Brock Graham, entrepreneur, young entrepreneur from Cut and Dry Barber and Beauty Lounge.
Yes.
Yeah, Brock, you know, that was a great conversation we had earlier. So tell us how all of that development and how did all that lead up to Cut and Dry Barber and Beauty Lounge?
I would say a lot of it had to be really wanting to bring something to Tucson that I think was unique. And I don't mean by Barber and Beauty Lounge, but I mean more of our thought process, more of the quality, more of the environment. I think a lot more nowadays we have men and women that do things together.
Okay.
And they do things as family.
Mm-hmm.
I know 30 years ago, it was the man goes to the barbershop, the woman goes and does her thing. And that's what it was.
Yeah.
And a lot of that thought is still relevant now today. But I really wanted to tap onto an industry of family, of places where people could come to network. And I think it was more of a business strategy also to have the people that do these things basically at my helm, like I can touch them. So I wanted to be able to access these people, keep them looking good, from military to people that work at Raytheon, to people that own businesses, to people that are looking to do businesses, to people that are into real estate. I mean, being a barber or a stylist, you're basically benefit from having clients because you can learn so much because they give you so much. But I've also learned too is time is one thing too that a lot of people don't want to give up.
Yeah, I remember back in the day, man, when I was younger, I'd just go to the barbershop and just sit and
just
wait.
Sit there, yeah. Exactly.
Sit and wait, yep. And there was a lot going on. Everybody was talking. You needed some kind of entertainment because you were waiting for hours.
Exactly.
And I don't think anybody's willing to give up that kind of time on a Saturday or like we used to.
No, and I think too the biggest thing is knowing your time. I'm trying to show, create a business that one respects your time.
Yes.
So I think that's also the thing is, you know, my slogan is, you know, don't wait in line, book online.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Mm-hmm.
So okay. I don't want you to sit in the shop because one, I don't want you staring at me while I'm cutting somebody's hair. as in my profession, it's a lot of pressure to have people just sitting there looking at you like, am I next?
You have a row of 10 people staring at you. Yeah, like, hurry up.
Exactly.
Come on.
I got somewhere to go. I got somewhere to go.
Does it really take that much time to put that line in?
Right, exactly. I could have done better than
How many
myself?
Times are you going to touch it? You know what I mean? Like, it just got to be one of those things where you want to create a place where mom can get her nails and her hair done.
Yeah.
Dad can sit down and get his hair done.
Yeah.
Whether son or daughter get their hair done. Right. You know the conversation isn't going to be explicit or anything that you'd have to worry about. Mm-hmm. You know that there's going to be some type of entertainment for the children versus whether it be TV or I'm not going to lie. I do have a lot of candy. I have a candy store.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I have a candy store inside of the shop. So, you know, I just felt like
espressos and puppies.
Exactly. You know, I just felt like bringing that all together could be more profitable in the long range because I think that there's more people that are looking to have that environment versus a single man that wants to come in and talk about. What I say is come in and lie to me.
Oh yeah.
You know, everybody lives the grand life. When you're a barber, everybody's life is better than yours.
I'm sure. So, and also you're a therapist too.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. This is the unlicensed part of your job as a therapist.
Exactly.
Too.
And that's the part where when you bring in family, you're not as much of a therapist, but you're more of you're somebody that they can relate to.
Yeah.
If they understand that's your background.
Right,
so
right,
bringing
right.
that all together, I just really wanted to have that environment where, you know, I might be able to put two people together that need to be together as far as networking. I might have somebody looking for a house. I might know a realtor. So, you know, somebody may be looking for barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
There's you know, I hear that all the time. There ain't no good barbecue in Tucson. Oh. So, you know, it's just you're kind of like that person. And I always wanted to be able to kind of be able to grasp all those people, so if I wanted to do something
right
I would have them on a phone list.
You're creating your own network, really. You're creating a network, harboring a network, and then distributing that network all at the same time.
Exactly. And that's one of my goals in 2021 is to figure out how to monetize my network.
Nice. Right.
So that's my next thing is once I build this network, what I have been building over the last 10 years.
Absolutely.
Now my biggest thing is now how do I monetize it, or how can I have another business pay me for my clients?
Sure.
I mean, because that's what corporations do already. Mm-hmm. So I just want to be able to do it locally for local businesses.
Sure.
So I would like if a local business, whether it be a flower shop or bakery, say, hey, Brock, we know that you do your thing. We'll give you $150. Can you bring us as many people as you can?
Yeah, can you introduce some of your clients to our business?
Exactly. Yep. So that's my goal in 2021. And that's kind of, I felt like just being in a barber shop as a chair really wouldn't speak the volume of being a business owner. You are, but I say you're more of a brand owner.
It's all about building a brand.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think once you have a brick and mortar with the brand, now I think people take you as established.
Mm-hmm.
Versus whether your business succeeds or not. Just people like, man, you made it.
Yeah,
I get to pay all the bills.
What
did I really make?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So that's a lot of where that brought me to is understanding where I wanted to take it. What I want. Did I want to be typical or did I want to introduce a texture friendly shop? You know, and that's one thing that I'm trying to really push is we are multi-textural, so we're pushing texture.
Right.
We want to be able to have in one shop, no matter what type of hair you have, you can get serviced.
Right. That's great. That's great. So I know one of the things is that your team and you, you're really skillful on social media. Tell us a little bit about that. How, what the importance of social media and what you do and in business.
You know, I do think it's very, I think it's the, kind of like the new word of mouth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But what I would say is that there's a certain population of people that believe that it's all about likes versus business.
No.
I would say it just helps people because a lot of people may not go like your pictures.
Right.
But it's a reference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially in my industry. So I'll get people that say, oh, I seen you on Facebook. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, okay. So did you request me? And they're like, no.
No. You know? Did you like my page? No.
No.
I just saw a picture and you're there. So yeah, I didn't need a like. I just got to come in.
It was a great haircut.
Yeah. It was,
so right. I would say.
Support, like, please.
Yeah, exactly.
So a little support.
Exactly. So that's.
My ego is in the line.
And that I would say that's one thing I had to check with social media.
Right.
Is right. Kind of like. You know, I don't get a million likes. I don't get all this, but I literally am booked with 16 clients a day.
Right, right.
So I think it's important for people to be able to visually see what you have to offer, especially in my field.
Right. Okay.
But I've just noticed a lot of them, it's almost like they're reluctant to show you that you're doing a good job.
Yeah, they're holding that like back. They just hold the like exactly. In their pocket.
Right. Yeah. You know, I feel like if I did food or something like that, it's more.
Ooh, I like that picture.
Right. But I just feel like it's more acceptable for everybody to like a great dish.
Yeah.
Right.
But, I mean, let's just face the facts. You see a black guy with an edge up. It's not necessarily for everybody.
Right.
So
looks
right.
Nice.
You know, exactly. Yeah. So I just think it's one of those things that is a tool. It's another tool in the tool belt.
Yeah.
And I think it's mandatory to have in your tool belt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, really you guys do a great job with it. So
thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
So it's a family shop, really, is what you have. It's,
yes.
How often are you bringing your family into the shop to helping you out, or do they
they're
help
pretty
you
much
out?
There almost every week.
Okay.
My wife, she comes in periodically at least 3 times a week. She basically, what it is when you're creative, it's hard to be creative and boss.
Okay.
So because you're, you know, with creative people, you need the thought space.
Yeah.
So my wife actually is the person that make sure everything goes right.
Oh, she's the boss.
She's the boss. She's the wheels.
Okay.
So what it is I've always told her is that in order for me to do my job fully and at the best of my ability, I can't kind of be subjected to the complaints of our employees. They're not being busy, the more work they need. So I learned that having her as the buffer has been able to help me to be able to do that. And then as far as my daughter and my sons are 20 and 21.
Mm-hmm.
So what I do with them is I have them do a lot of promotion for me.
Okay.
So I'm like, hey, man, just throw these nails on your social media.
Yeah.
You know, because they're on the in crowd of that right
sure,
now.
Sure, sure.
So some people come, you know, we build off of that. But that's really more or less how they're involved is just, I guess you could say, behind the scenes.
Right. So everybody has a role. And they're all more than happy and willing and down with the family business.
I would say so. I mean, I think it's something that they've grown up with. Like I said, we did it at a time in our lives where they were young. Mm-hmm. So I think it's what they know.
Right.
They know the hustle. They know the little bit, you know, that it takes from everybody to do even what they wanted to do.
Right.
When they were playing basketball, we were all in, you know, teamwork makes the dream work. So
right.
It was just one of those things. So with my family being involved, it's a lot of behind the scenes stuff, but when I'm working, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
I need you to leave.
You need to know.
Well, it's just because you know how kids are. I mean,
Dad,
and it's yours.
Dad,
or it's theirs.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. Right.
So they're like, well, I'm going to get a soda and I'm going to come over here and stand right by you. And I'm like, hey.
Space.
Go sit down.
Right.
So it's those type of things.
Yeah.
But.
Right. So, and I think we're all dying to know. So tell us about, because you just started it up, and I've noticed that a lot of people during this whole, what they want to call COVID crisis and all this, you know, there's a lot of panic and there's a lot of businesses going out of business at this time. So tell us how you had the nerve and the guts
yeah.
to open up during this time. So what's that?
What did
about?
You tell your wife?
Yeah. Well, one thing is I'd been looking for this location. I didn't really know where it was, but I'd just been looking for it. And I'm a very optimistic person. So when this started happening, I started to look at, okay, so a lot of things are going to be available as far as business, as far as resources, because I just felt like everybody was going to be kind of running around crazy, but there's going to be a group of people that are going to stick strong and stay strong in what they kind of like, what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started looking at my finances, and I think that was a blessing. Is I've been taught how to save.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept saying that this, for the whole world to kind of slow down, kind of was my benefit, because nobody could literally miss anything. Nobody was missing out on anything. Nobody was doing anything. So I could kind of quietly jump into this market.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of had a little bit more negotiating power, actually.
Right, yeah. Right.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So there was a lot of strategy behind knowing, one, that nobody's doing anything. So if I could do anything right now, the resources, the plumbing, everything would be kind of like, I don't want to say this, but cheaper.
Yeah, because people be glad they had a business. Yeah. People are looking for business.
Yeah,
exactly. People hungry for so something. It was like bidding wars to do things.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so I'm not going to lie. I called plenty of people and was negotiating through COVID-19 crisis.
Mm. Nice. Mm.
So I was using that as my benefit, saying, hey, man, like, I'm willing to do 3 years. This can't last 3 years.
Yeah.
Right.
Let's talk about some graduated terms that will get you up to where you think you should be.
Right.
And let's work with me somewhere lower now.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And now I have this thought process that if I could open a business when it was struggling and make it through.
Right.
That the tide could only turn. So we
could only get better.
We could only, so we're at the, I mean, you're literally at the bottom. There's no further that we could go down to know that nobody could come out.
right.
I mean, literally. Right. There's no further you could go.
No.
Right.
I mean, but there were ways around it. Mm-hmm. You know, putting one person in the shop at a time when it first started.
Right.
Yeah.
Our stations were almost like 20 feet away from each other.
Oh, wow.
We had put a nail tech in a room. We had built a room and had her actually have her own room.
Your own space.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So there was things that I looked at because, like I said, the resources were cheap.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To get somebody to build a room was cheap. There, like I said, it was bidding wars.
Sure.
So I just looked at the situation as, what could we gain?
Yeah.
Everybody's going crazy because they feel like they're losing something, but you really didn't. You got a lot of time to really invest in yourself or your business.
Yeah.
So I looked at this opportunity and said, okay, let me do that. And then I started working on some other licenses as well. One was to become an instructor.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking at becoming a barber instructor.
Oh, that's wow. Cool.
So yeah. That we can maybe one day open up
a school.
Yeah. Our goal is to transfer the students. So you go to Cut and Dry Barber School and you come work in Cut and Dry.
Nice. Right.
So we did that. I mean, it was just, there's a lot of things were made easy during this time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because one, nobody wanted, that sounds crazy, nobody wanted human contact.
Right.
So they made everything digital.
Mm-hmm.
And we know Arizona, or we know Tucson was probably the last person to make things digital. You know what I'm saying?
Especially,
like, you know what I mean? Like, think about it, like the LLC license. I think like 2 years ago, you still had to go downtown and walk through City Hall.
Yeah.
So, I mean, knowing that all that stuff had to happen was like, this is when you got to strike.
Right.
You're at the bottom.
Yep.
All the resources came. I mean, even like I'm in real estate school right now. That's all digital.
Oh, wow.
The whole school is digital.
Wow.
And it's your time.
Nice.
So it's like,
why not?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So that's how I just looked at it. And I knew that my clientele could cover the expenses because a lot of them, like I said, are professional people.
Right.
So even doing Zoom meetings, you know, you don't want your CEO to see you looking a certain way.
Right.
You know, and I noticed too is a lot of the military guys still had to wear their uniform on video calls. You know, there was still a lot of business that was out there. It just had to be modified. So I felt like if we could modify it and open it, it could only, like I said, it could only go up.
Yeah.
Right, right.
And that was during a time, you said during the beginning, where people weren't leaving their house and people were growing their hair out, and they didn't mean to grow their hair out. It wasn't a style that they were planning on keeping. So you were right there to kind of basically save the day.
Exactly. So they opened up May 8th. Uh-huh. Man, I didn't even take appointments the first week because, to be honest, I was bidding wars with appointments. People right. were $50, $60. People were, how much does it cost? So knowing that my skills had also shown that it could be that type of profit mm-hmm. also showed me, okay, the money's going to be here, because also I made a lot of new clientele because some barbers were very cautious.
Yeah, a little hesitant to go back in.
Exactly. Yeah. And I was more of one of those people that believed in the way I take care of myself, mm-hmm. my cleanliness in the shop, as well as a person that I felt like we'll be safe enough.
Yeah.
Right, There's ways to operate to keep everybody safe.
Of course.
As long as you do that, and I know you do because I'm one of your clients. So, so as long as you operate according to the state board and the Pima County Health Department and all those things, which you are doing, then it's fine.
Yeah. It's just the patrons that would be... I had moms coming in there with their own disinfectant and I would tell them, hey, whatever makes you feel comfortable. A lot of people probably wouldn't be able to stand that.
Right.
But it was like, whatever you need to do. Yeah. You want to wipe down everything too? I just wiped it down.
Right.
You see me spray the stuff, but if you want to,
feel free.
Go for it.
So it was just, that was one of the things is I just knew opening now at the bottom, if we could get clients, I don't want to call them employees, but the people that work, that I contract for work, if they could continue to feed their families, pay their bills, that one, I might be able to have clients contractors that would stick with me through more and be willing to build. So I felt like that was another key component with building the business right now is finding those people that needed to work, but then would say, okay, you know what? Brock made it possible.
Yeah.
Whatever he says now, I'm going to ride with.
Yeah.
Although that doesn't work necessarily. But it was my thought process.
Right, right.
Yes.
You thought that way.
What did you tell your wife when you said, okay, this is it. We're going to open right now. What did she say? What was her first or initial reaction?
It was where.
Okay.
It was where. Like I said, we have really been conscious about this since about 2016.
Okay.
But like I said, the resources, they were going to charge me like $8,000 to put in shampoo bowls.
Wow.
To build the room, it was going to be another $5,000. To paint the whole building, it was going to be another $2,000. That's what you were dealing with prior to this crisis.
Yeah.
Higher rents.
Yeah, people were making money. You're looking at triple net and all these different things that weren't in our favor.
Yeah.
And then now it almost like everybody became to the mercy of the consumer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to take advantage of that.
Yeah.
And that was kind of like I said, my wife and I had really dug in deep to planning this.
Yeah.
It was just what day and when and where, you know what I mean?
That's
so
awesome.
That's kind of like we already knew. So the money was there. And I think that was the biggest thing is we were financially stable enough to make it happen.
Okay.
Well, that's great.
That's good.
That's great. Yeah. I'm glad. I, like a bunch of clients, are glad to see it open, cut and dry.
Thank you.
Right. Happy to be there. And that's a great story. Appreciate you sharing it with us.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
Right. Now, this is a barbecue show.
Of course.
Tell us a little bit about cooking and what goes on at the house and,
okay.
I'm really interested in when you first started cooking or what's your background.
Well, I would say I come from a family of cooks, and I would always say that my skills are underestimated through my family because I'm a person that I'm very visual. So you show me and I can do it. But I would say with having a family becomes the part where you cook the most, right?
Right.
Yeah.
My grandmother was a person that anything that she tasted, she felt like she could make.
Wow.
Anything. Like any recipe from even Mexican candy. You know, you have the chili on the outside?
Uh-huh.
She said, I can make the chili. I can make the spices, but put them all together. And you can just dip your own sucker in there. But I would say that for me cooking, it was more on the learning how to eat healthy for the family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I grew up eating the fried chickens and all the different stuff like that. But it was about, I told myself, I was looking at a lot of my elders and I was looking at how good they look in their 60s. Mm. And I don't know how they ate every day, but I seen how they ate a lot of times because we did events together. Yeah. But I said, if I could change a little bit of the eating, I could look just as good, if not better, at that time. So a lot of my cooking is, I don't want to say vegan inspired, but it's a lot of chicken and fish inspired.
Right.
I really enjoy things on the grill that I don't think a lot of people grill, like zucchini and eggplant.
Whoa.
And pineapple, watermelon.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
You know, so I mean, as far as barbecue, I grew up on great barbecue. So I always have this saying that I tell people in my family, you don't need sauce. Well, you know, the sauce is like, if you want, it's like whipped cream. Like, what is that? Does that really make the cake better? You know, right, I mean, right. It's a topping, you know, it makes it looks good and it tastes a little bit good, but you know, so that was a lot of how I started cooking, is just trying to eat healthier, trying to explore food with my family. You know, like I said, I keep taking it back to my grandmother, because my grandmother one day told me she would give me like $5 at the age of, like, I think I was probably like 9, if I would try all the juices she was going to make one night. My mom had just bought her a juicer. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay, well.
What juices did you try?
Celery juice, carrot juice, beet juice. I mean, she would literally just juicing like a half of a vegetable, no fruit.
Right.
And we would just take a shot of it. I mean, it was a tough night, but you know, I made it through.
You made $5.
I did. I'm telling you, I think I was probably like 9 or something. I remember. Yeah. I never will forget that, because my mom woke up like all these glasses everywhere. Because I was telling her like, nah,
these shot glasses.
Right. Like,
what you been doing? Right.
Like, I can't mix celery juice with carrot juice. I just, you understand that? I'm like, for some reason, celery's spicy when you juice it, but it was. You know, it was just one of those things where I think that was the precursor cooking, is having people that, you know, my family, they ate everything. We ate vegetables. We tried a lot of different things. And I think that was, and traveling. As I got older, traveling and trying food was probably, that's, I think if I couldn't do here, that's what I'd want to be a chef.
Yeah.
It's just because there's so much creativity, and it's like one of my friends says, you know, you got to think outside the box. But I think, like, with food, there is no box, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
just
you can do whatever. It's,
do your style, basically.
Yeah. I mean, it's very subjective, right? It's just what people like.
Yeah, and that's the show. I mean, the show we talk about, creating your own style.
Exactly.
And we'll help you. Make sure you don't burn stuff up.
You don't need a 500-degree grill, you know.
Right. But it's all about creating your own style.
It is. And I think, too, is that for me, cooking is like it's like yoga. Mm. It's very therapeutic. You know, you turn on some music.
Yeah.
You start chopping some vegetables.
Yeah.
You get your meat going. If it's on the grill, you know, like I said, temperature low.
Right.
Just leave it alone.
Yep.
Might turn it once, you know.
Yeah.
It's a very therapeutic thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
To come home, the kids are happy to see me. Then it's like, what you gonna cook? And it's like, I don't know. I got an eggplant, a zucchini, some ground turkey, half a rice, and some lasagna. We're gonna make something out of that. I mean, that's where cooking is for me. It's an enjoyment.
That's great. So do you have any tips for our listening audience?
The biggest tip I would say is there's no such thing as fast cooking.
Yeah.
You know that? I think, you know, so many of us that cook ribs, cook chicken, you know, you're standing over the grill like trying to make it cook fast.
Yeah. Is it done yet? Is it done yet?
Right. But you're only mess every time you open the grill, you're messing up the process. But I would just say patience. You know, it's one of those things. Just let it do what it does. The meat's cooking.
Yeah.
It cooks no faster opening the oven 9 times or taking the top off of the pot every single time to stir it a little bit.
Yeah.
It's, you know, let it do what it does.
Yeah. All right.
And I think that's probably my biggest thing.
Yeah. So tell us how our listening audience can get in touch with you or at Cut and Dry.
So we do have a website, which is cutanddrytucson.com. On that actual website, we have everything on there, a list of our services, as well as all of our people that, all of our stylists, and all your nail techs, myself. But everything we, what we've tried to do is we've tried to put as much information on our website so that you can, if you have any questions, they're kind of answered through there. But if you do, if you don't, you can also call us at 520-440-7257. And that's going to be our direct line that you would actually probably speak with Erica most likely.
Mm-hmm.
And then she can direct you or help you with anything. Also, we are on Instagram and Facebook as Cut and Dry Tucson. So that's going to be, we didn't want to put the, like you said earlier, the bees, the barber lounge. And the, you know, we just wanted to make it real simple for our social media. So it's just
right.
Cut and Dry Tucson.
All right. Easy. That's fantastic. And I know you guys take appointments. You do hair, your clients are by appointment.
Yes, we are.
And you can do that on the website too.
Everything is on the website. Okay. We are preferably appointment only shop right now, especially due to the crisis. We want to make sure that we can mitigate everybody's time frame of being in the shop.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to make sure that there's no waiting. So
that's cool.
That's a lot of how we're trying to operate is with a no waiting, like coming to the shop and just sitting down and waiting for a haircut. That's most likely not going to happen.
Right.
Just because of how things are, we just want to be able to structure everybody kind of staggered to ensure everybody's safety. But everything like that is on the website.
Yeah, and going to your website, I did see that COVID, your COVID rules.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah, so that's on your website too.
So, and that's just how we're operating right now. I mean, when things get better for everybody, we probably will have things a little bit more sociable in the shop, mm-hmm. I would say.
Mm-hmm.
But we're still going to work by appointment because, like I said, we want to guarantee your time.
Yeah.
You know, we want you to be able to know you're going to make your son's football game. You're going to be back to lunch on time.
Yeah.
That's what we're trying to strive for is, you know, our punctual business. And in our industry, we really have never had that in the hair industry. It's kind of like you just come in and how it goes is how it goes. You know, so that's
hope it works.
Exactly. So and that's why everything we try to put online. And we try to make it to where it's self-explanatory.
Yeah.
That you can just do everything from your phone.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. I tell you, Brock, it's been a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you.
You are an excellent example of a young entrepreneur. You and the business. Great example.
I appreciate it.
And it's fantastic. A pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Everybody, please come support us at Cut and Dry Tucson. And we hope to see everybody pretty soon.
All right.
Awesome. Thank you
very much. Hey, we're going to have some great guests coming up. We're going to have Donna Liggins, community activist. Donna has done so many great things around Tucson, and we look forward to her sharing some of those things and her experiences coming up in the ranks through the city of Tucson. Also, we're going to have Dean Greenberg on the show from Greenberg Financial Group. Dean's going to be on the show. He's going to be talking to us about what's going on out here in the economy, what's going on in the stock market, and also he's going to share with us some of his culinary experiences. Dean is a former restaurant owner, so it's going to be a great conversation. Please join us on Get Your Barbecue On with Ken Alexander on KVOI 1030 The Voice. See you next time.